Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to our GSP Ace of the Day. Inch by inch, we are working our way towards a winning 2021 Indian Wells. We go 3-3, up 0.21 units overall on Friday. We earn victories from Yelena Ostapenko. She knocks out Sue Si in comfortable fashion, covering that 3.5 game spread. We also get a win from Pedro Martinez Portero. He continues to assert his place in the ATP Top 100, covers the 4.5 game spread against Roberto Marcora. We also hit on our parlay. Three veterans delivering the goods, Alina Svitolina, Andy Murray, Vika Azarenka, all earning victories on Friday. That was a plus 135 half unit victory for us. Now, unfortunately, Ludmila Samsonova falls a bit short on the money line. Rybakina, Jack Sock both knocked off as well. Nevertheless, any day you're in the positives, you chalk up as a victory. And again, 3-3, up 0.21 units overall on Friday. That leaves us at 7-6-2, up 1.25 units through 2 days of picks here at the 2021 Indian Wells. Again, we're not throwing any parties. We're not throwing a celebration, but inch by inch, we're working our way towards the result we know is possible. And again, we're up 1.25 units. Put that money in our pocket, stash it away as we work through the rest of this year's Indian Wells event. With that in mind, of course, the action continues here on Saturday. Round of 64 gets started for the men. We've got the back half of the round of 64 for the women. That means we've got seeds in play across the board. And as such, you see the money lines start to get a little bit more lopsided, certainly when you get top seeds like Daniil Medvedev, like Stefanos Tsitsipas. Top seeds for the women begin competing as well. Caroline Pliskova, Bianca Andreescu getting in the action. As such, a little bit trickier to find value here on Saturday. Nevertheless, I think we have. And with that in mind, of course, I want to get into my Ace of the Day selections. Of course, I will remind all of you listeners here at the start what I'm going to do. Work my way through the day's board. Talk about the money line underdog picks I'm looking at most closely. Name my favorite over-unders, my favorite spreads. Of course, it wouldn't be an Ace of the Day segment if I didn't offer up a parlay or two, and I've got exactly that for all of you listeners today as well. Work my way across the action. Of course, if you miss out on any pick, you want to read the entire board, you can find all of the picks I put together on our website, crackrackets.com. You can hear recaps of every day's action over on the Mini Break podcast feed. And of course, if you are a Cracked Rackets Patreon subscriber, you'll get GSP Ace, Match of the Day segments, where I break down the match I am watching most closely through any given day of this Indian Wells event. With that in mind, let's get into it. Here are my picks for Saturday's round of 64 matches at Indian Wells. Let's start with the money lines, the underdogs I am looking at most closely. Couple of matches spread across the board that are within that, you know, plus 150 to minus 175 range, where it becomes at least worthwhile to consider placing an individual bet, at least if you're particularly confident in one result. Now, of course, as I have conveyed here in the first two episodes, in the case of the minus 160s, minus 170s, oftentimes you find better value betting the spread in those matches than you do betting the money line. And so you see me make that choice here once again today, in particular for Anaconia, minus 160 against Tamara Zidanczyk. You look at what Anaconia has been able to accomplish here this season. She's got as many wins as just about anyone on the WTA Tour. Of course, it's across levels, but you look for Anaconia, 37 wins here in this 2021 season. That's tied for sixth amongst all the WTA players measured by Tennis Abstract's 2021 2021 specific ELO ratings. Of course, you look at what Anacconia has been able to accomplish here on the season. You want to go with the advanced metrics. That's fine. Konya up to number 64 in 2021 specific ELO, up to number 69 in overall ELO. You look for Anacconia, 48th in points accumulated on the season. As such, she's back up into the top 75 of the rankings, currently at number 69 in the live rankings. You look for Konya, though, of course, she's a former top player in the world, was top 20 back in 2017, was a top junior in the world as she was working her way up the ranks, had reached the quarterfinals of the U.S. Open prior to turning 20 years old. Of course, dealt with so many different injuries over the next seemingly half a decade of play, and it's just been so great to see Anacconia healthy for a full, 12-month stretch of time. She's 50-27 over the last 52 weeks, 42-22 here in 2021. Of course, you look at what she's done lately, qualified at the U.S. Open before getting knocked out in the first round by eventual finalist Leyla Fernandez. She qualified in San Jose earlier in the summer hard court stretch, makes it to the semifinals before getting knocked out by Danielle Collins. You look for her qualified in Ostrava before getting knocked out by Pavlyuchenkova. Three-set loss for her to Gasanova in Nur-Sultan was certainly unexpected, but 2-2 for her in her first match over Anna Shmadova to advance to the round of 64. Here you look for Anacconia in terms of WTA level matches here this season. I mentioned that she's 42-22 overall. She is 39-17. I have the tour level, and again, that includes qualifying results for her, but let's not, it hasn't been an ITF-packed schedule. She hasn't been padding her wins through that method. She's been doing it the hard way, and you have to give credit for Anacconia. You look at the breakdown in terms of by ranking that she's played against opponents ranked outside the top 100. Konya's 23-5 against opponents outside the top 50. She's 32-10. Of course, you get to those top 50 opponents. Anacconia 6-7 here this season, wins over Podoroska, Putintseva, Swiatek, Madison Keys, a nice win over Ali Risk as well, and has played some tight three-set matches, a three-set loss to Tsitsipas Tormo, that, 6-1 loss to Pavlyuchenkova in Ostrava. Certainly you wouldn't categorize as a bad loss either. Simply put, Anaconia's been excellent here this season, working her way back into the form that made her a top 20 player by the age of 20. But of course, given she's working her way back up the rankings, she's got a tough draw in number 26 seed, fellow player born in 1997, soon to be 24-year-old Tamara Zadonzic. It's been a year of first for Zadonzic here this season. Career highs for her, of course, in hold percentage, 65.6%. Here on the year, she's breaking serve 37.2% of the time. For those of you curious, where does that rank on the Tennis Abstract stats leaderboard? Tamara Zadonzic right now currently ranks 23rd in break percentage. You look for Tamara Zadonzic in terms of her hold percentage here this season. That's 65.6%. Still on the lower side, Zadonzic ranking 41st in hold percentage. By the way, you compare those two numbers to Anacconia here this season. Konya's rank, you look for Konya, in terms of what she's been able to do hold percentage, break percentage wise. It is worth noting that despite the higher ranking for Tamara Zadonzic, you look at the hold break percentage for Anacconia, she's holding serve 61.7% of the time in her tour level matches. That's a bit lower than Zadonzic, but she's breaking serve 39.4% of the time. That's a bit higher. And by the way, that 39.4% number would rank extraordinarily well amongst top 50 players. That would be a little bit higher than Zadonzic in the Pavlyuchenkova, Sabalenka, Barty range. That number would rank 17th right now amongst top 50 players. But again, you look for Tamara Zadonzic this season, clearly semifinal run to Roland Garros. You have to love that. And let's be clear, for Tamara Zadonzic, we're on a slow, high-bouncing hard court. You like those conditions for her. You look for Zadonzic here on the season, 29-18 overall. She won a title in Lausanne. She made another final over in Bogota at the start of the season. Now, of course, the majority of her success, the title, the final, the semifinals of Roland Garros, that all has come on clay this season. You look for her on hard courts this year. Zadonzic 8-11 And of course, while she does have a win over Brady in three sets in Abu Dhabi over Fernandez at the start of the season as well, you look beyond those two victories for Tamara Zidanczyk on hard courts. You know, against opponents ranked outside the top 50, she's still 7-9. Against opponents ranked inside the top 50, 1-2 in those matches. It's a tough test. And again, on a slow bouncing court, you certainly like Zidanczyk's chances a little bit better. You look at the Tennis Abstract formula they actually have, you look at the Tennis Abstract formula, they have Konya as a comfortable favorite here today. Anna Konya, 59.7% in the singles forecast to the 26th seed Zidanczyk's 40.3%. You look in terms of the spread in this match, Konya minus 155 to Zidanczyk's now plus 125. Again, by every metric, Anna Konya right now is the favorite. You look for her, obviously has had the majority, you could say, of her success this season on hard courts. While she's had success on clay, I mentioned the 39-17 number. She's 21-9 on clay courts. And of course, that includes round of 16 in Miami, semifinals in San Jose, probably her two best results as of the season. Again, what does Zidanczyk do to hurt Konya on these courts? I'm not sure. I do know Anna Konya's got the firepower to hit through any court. So rather than take the Konya money line at minus 155, I just think there's more value in the spread. You get to Konya -2.5 games, minus 105 there. All she's got to do is beat Zidanczyk. And let's be clear again, slow, high-bouncing, high court. Zidanczyk is going to make this match a track. I mean, she's going to make this match physical, but I just don't know how she hurts Konya. I don't think she's got the weapons to match Konya, and I know Konya has the weapons to hit through any court. She looked excellent in her first-round win over Shmadova. Give me Konya -2.5 games instead of the money line over Zidanczyk. You get minus 105. That's just better value than minus 160. And again, in both instances, she's really just got to win to cover that -2.5 game. So give me her over Zidanczyk, -105, one unit to win 0.95. That's one of your aces. Of course, that is not actually the money line pick I have for you today. I do have a money line selection I want to run by everyone. And of course, again, to see my full list of thoughts, check out our website, crackrackets.com. But some interesting ones: Kerber minus 155 over Siniakova. Yes, it's Kerber's first match here at Indian Wells of the tournament, but she's the defending finalist. Slow, hard court. She turns it into a track meet. You know, Siniakova goes three sets with Kleisters in round one. And yes, part of that is the atmosphere and just the nerves you get playing a legend like Kleisters. But, you know, again, these conditions just feel really, really good for Angelique Kerber. She's defending finalist points here. She's lost like five times total since Wimbledon. Minus 155 feels too low. I know Siniakova is dangerous, but that number just feels too low. Anisimova is now the minus 145 favorite over Georgie. That's interesting. Stay away, though. Hard-hitting, highly volatile match. That one could have swings, momentum runs. You know, it could be a 6 love set for Anisimova followed by a 6 set love set for Georgie or vice versa. So that's a stay away for me. Tiafoe's the underdog right now against Sebastian Korda, minus 105. And I just feel like in an all-American matchup between two youngsters, you're going to make Tiafoe the underdog on conditions like this where his athleticism thrives. And, you know, we've never seen Korda play in Indian Wells main draw before. And I just think this is going to bring out the best tennis for Tiafoe. At the same time, Korda does have the weapons to expose that Tiafoe forehand. That match is just a stay away. But it's interesting to me to note that Marcos Giron tomorrow is actually favored in his matchup against seeded Filip Krajinovic. You look according to the odds, Marcos Giron a minus 120 favorite to Krajinovic's minus 105. Now you look according to Tennis Abstract singles forecast, it is worth noting that I believe Krajinovic is actually still the slight favorite in this matchup today. You look for Krajinovic 51.6% to Giron's 48.4%. However, you look at their results here this season, especially on hard courts. I think Marcos Giron has been pretty unequivocally the better player. And of course, right now, Giron number 56 in the rankings, Krajinovic number 34. However, you look in the points race here this season, Krajinovic number 44, Marcos Giron number 61. So again, that gap can be narrowed. You look for them in terms of 2021 specific ELO. You look for Krajinovic here on the season. He currently ranks, I believe, 76th in 2021 specific ELO. Marcos Giron ranks 38th. You look for Marcos Giron, 38-25 overall here on the season. You in his last 52 weeks, 29-21 here this season exclusively in ATP level action. You look for him overall on the year. He's made four different quarterfinals. Of course, many of them have come of late. Winston-Salem, he does it at the Moselle Open. He makes semifinals over in Sofia, has gotten two wins over Demonauer, a win over John Millman, a win over Arthur Rindernesh on a hard indoor hard court. He also gets a really impressive come from behind three set win over Botic Vandesen Skulp. Now that match was a track meet, 2.5 hours, but he's had a day to recover. And again, on this surface, we've seen Marcos Giron make a run to the round of 32 here at Indian Wells before, and just his ability to create in the hour thirds, the physicality that he plays with, this is a fantastic surface for him. Meanwhile, you look on the flip side, Krajinovic, 17-20 in his last 52, 17-17 overall here on the season. Now, he has played better of late, makes a final in Hamburg, makes semifinals in Sofia before getting knocked out by Jannik Sinner. But you look for him overall on the year. Krajinovic now 6-7 in hard court matches. You look for him in terms of just historically how he's done at Indian Wells, because he is one of the rare players who's had the opportunity to play it multiple times now in his career. He made the round of 16 back in 2019, beat Goffin, beat Medvedev before getting knocked out by Nadal. And of course, for Krajinovic, a slow hard court, a surface he enjoys given, you know, his clay court prowess. But again, this is a bet on the peaking Marcos Giron over the, you know, meh sort of performances of Filip Krajinovic this season. You want to look at the numbers. I mean, again, Krajinovic has not had as much success as Giron has by any metric. And I already told you the 2021 ELOs, but you look at the hold percentage breakdown. You look for Marcos Giron. He is holding here in 2021. 80.1% of the time, he's breaking serve. 20.8% of the time, You look for Filip Krajinovic. He's holding serve 79.3% of the time, breaking serve 23.9% of the time. So again, it's almost a toss-up in this match. You can understand why the numbers are so close. In that case, give me the guy who's peaking. Give me the guy who's just playing rock solid tennis of late in Marcos Giron. Now, only half a unit because this surface is where Krajinovic is most dangerous, but give me Giron half a unit to win 0.41. That is your money line selection. That is ace of the day number two. Of course, I've got over unders, I've got spreads for you all that I enjoy. Let's start with the two heavy favorites who I have as who I'm taking the spreads on today, Danielle Collins and Casper Ruud. And it's both -5.5 games. Now, that's a lot of games, right? You got to win 3-3. You got to win 2-4. You got to win 2-3. You just have to win comfortably from start to finish. I expect both to do so. And you look for Danielle Collins, who has been one of the 10 best players since the end of Wimbledon. She goes on to win San Jose and, you know, won, I think, what was it, two tournaments in a row instead of playing the Olympics. And just, you look for Collins right now. She's one of eight WTA players, to win both, to be top 15 in both hold and break percentage. But perhaps more impressively, just look at the record. Collins, 34-13 overall on the season. Quarterfinals in Chicago before losing 7-6 in the third to Vondrousova. Third round U.S. Open before getting knocked out by Sabalenka. Round of 16 in Montreal before a three-set loss to Pegula. But she beats Halep, she beats Teichmann in three sets in that event. You know, again, she's just been spectacular this season. And with all due respect to Lauren Davis, who is back inside the top 100, whose birthday happens to be today. Happy birthday to you, Lauren Davis. You look for her here in 2021. She's 20-20 overall. You look at her record against top 50 opponents this season, 2-9. You look at her record against the top 20, 1-2. Again, I think Collins, what does she do to hurt Danielle Collins? I'm not sure, particularly on this surface. I just think Collins is going to have free rein to swing away, and she's playing too well right now to give her that sort of opportunity. So I know 5.5 games is a lot, but I think she wins comfortably. I also think just Casper Ruud continues to rock and roll, and of course you look for Casper Ruud coming off of the San Diego title. He was excellent on his run to that win, and obviously played his best match of the tournament in the final against Cam Norrie, winning that match 0-2, but, you know, beats Murray, Sonego, Dimitrov, all in that matchup, and on a slow hard court for a guy who's won 5 titles this year, 4 of them coming on clay courts. You love these conditions for him, even against the guy, a fellow, I suppose, clay court guy in Roberto Carbajas Bena, who, by the way, currently ranked 81. You look for him here in 2021, 38-26 overall on the season, but you look for him at the ATP level, 11-15 overall. You want to make that hard court specific. He's 3-4 in his hard court matches he's played at the ATP level this season. In case you're curious, overall, he's 3-4 in the matches he's played on hard courts this season. I just think Casper Ruud takes it to him. I think this is the match where Casper works his way onto this surface and looks damn comfortable doing so. Both players at -5.5 games, you get pretty good odds for them. -115 again. I think Collins and Ruud advance comfortably. We're only going to throw half a unit on it to win 0.43, but we are going to throw half a unit on each to win 0.43 on each. I'm also taking BB -3.5 games over Ali Risk. She's the defending champion. This is crunch time. She's got points to defend. If she wants to stay a top 30, top 20 player, she's got to make at least quarterfinals here this year. And you look for Andreescu. I mean, again, outside of Miami, it's been shaky form. She's played a lot of players close, but she just hasn't been able to get over that finish line. You know, the 3-set loss to Sakkari at the U.S. Open, the, you know, straight set loss to Shelby Rogers, 4-5 in Chicago, 3-set loss to Jabeur in Montreal, 3-set loss to Zidanec at Roland Garros. Even when she's lost, she's come close. And of course, Bianca Andreescu has plenty of main character energy, but you look for her. She's taking on Ali Risk, who did just make a final in Puerto Rose, but has only played 23 matches here this season. Neither has, you know, had a particular season to remember, and of course they've both dealt with various injuries. That's why we haven't seen them on the court as much as we'd like, but we have seen Andreescu fairly consistently here down the home stretch, and again, a slow hard court. I love this surface for Andreescu. I don't love this surface for Ali Risk. I think Andreescu beats her, and if you take the -3.5 games, you get pretty good value. -135, and again, that's a 4-4 victory, or one lopsided set and a 7-6 victory. I think Andreescu gets the job done. I think she covers the spread. -135. We're going to put a full unit on that to win 0.74. Those are the spreads I like, although there are a plethora of over-under spreads. Krejcikova, Kontave, Pliskova, Cerebes Tormo, Konya, Muguruza, you know, Kerber, Kasatkina. I think if you're going to bet on any of those seeded favorites, though, the way to do it is via the spread. Ditto for Opelka, Hurkacz, Karatsev. I like them all on the spread as well. Plenty of over 2.5 sets here on the day. But I do, of course, have to end with the parlays, and we're just going to rapid fire through them. Quite frankly, the All-American duo. These two have been best friends. They've been linked throughout their entire careers. Tommy Paul, Riley Opelka. Now, for Opelka, he's got Taro Daniel, and Opelka's the seed here. He's a comfortable favorite. You look at the Tennis Abstract formula, Riley Opelka favored to win comfortably in today's match. You look for Opelka. He is currently, I believe, I want to say, a 81.5% favorite over Daniel. Don't think I need to make the case for that. You look for Tommy Paul, though. 57.5% favorite over the Deuce, Dusan Lajovic, who is his matchup here on the day. Tommy, a -190 money line favorite, just coming off of a win over Feliciano Lopez. Again, this feels like another must win for Tommy if he wants to get back in the top 50, be where he belongs with the Fritzes, with the Opelkas, crafting his own schedule, being done with qualifying, and just getting to play what he wants to play. Again, the Deuce hits big on a slow hard court. He's got a little bit more time to do so, but give me Tommy and his athleticism to shine through. You parlay he and Opelka together. We'll call it the best friends parlay. -109. I like that. Half a unit to win 0.46. I'm also going to take Muguruza over Tomjanovic. Muguruza, your Tennis Abstract favorite to win the event. Your DraftKings now odds favorite after the Raducanu loss to win the event. I think she gets the job done. I like Hubi Hurkacz, who's made a round of 16 here before, over Alexei Popperin. I like Sarah Cerebez Tormo over Kalinskaya. You parlay the three of them together, +144 odds. We're going to throw half a unit on that to win 0.72. Those are your picks, seven of them, for our aces of the day. Giron, -120 over Krajinovic, half a unit to win 0.41. Andreescu, -3.5 games over Risk. Full unit bet on that, -135. Collins and Rude, -5.5 games over Davis and Carbeas Bania, -115, half a unit to win 0.43 on each. Konya, -2.5 games over Zdancic, -105, one unit to win 0.95. We've then got the best friend parlay, Paul and Opelka, -109, half a unit to win 0.46. Muguruza, Hurkacz, Cerebez, Tormo, moneyline parlay, +144, half a unit to win 0.72. Those are your picks for our GSP Aces of the Day. Again, recaps every day on the Mini Break Podcast, Match of the Day segments for our Crack Rackets Patreon family. If you want to ensure you have all the information that you need to enjoy this year's Indian Wells, Crack Rackets is the place for you. Of course, a shout out as always to our super producers, Max Ligner and Daniel Westoff, for the of an editing job they do day in, day out, making all of this content possible. All of it, by the way, available on our website, crackrackets.com. But with that said, for our super producers, Fleegner and Westoff, for our friends over at, for all of us here at both Crack Rackets and the Tennis Channel Podcast Network, I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. You know what we say? Hey, great chat, and may the odds be ever in your favor. Good luck, everyone.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.